Amen. Amen. Well, turning again to Deuteronomy, we are going to be in chapter 4. We made it partway through chapter 4 last week. It's a long chapter. And we will be, tonight really be starting with verse 32. But through this 14th chapter, you know, again, Moses is speaking to, as verse, the Scofield Bible has a note under the chapter 4 designation part. There it says, a new generation taught the lessons of Sinai. And so Moses is, again, who is his audience? It's these this great throng of unnumbered people. We don't know how many, but a He has to use these kind of superlatives in describing the number, the multitude of the people. They don't have a head count. But he's rehearsing in their ears and helping them to understand how unique, how amazing, how incredible this event that they've been through and that they're about to take part in. Every one of them but him. And those, the families of those that stayed on the east side of Jordan, how incredible this is. But even they were involved with the overthrowing of kings on the east side of Jordan. But how utterly amazing it is. It's kind of the frustration of the time. There is nothing more amazing in this world than the people of God. There's nothing more amazing in the universe than the human race. And there are so many things we're distracted, as I was mentioning earlier. We're distracted from these very basic, prominent, important truths. So Moses is bringing to their minds, remembering, helping them to remember and giving an account of what's taken place to this new generation. I guess you kind of think of it like this, you know. This generation of people he's talking to, pretty much all they have ever known is wandering in the wilderness. They've been shepherds. They've been sojourners. They've been a people without a country, people without cities, people without any kind of infrastructure because they're on the move. They're nomads. They're more nomadic in their lifestyle. And the Lord has been feeding them every day with manna from heaven. And here they are being fed with bread from heaven for 40 years, plus or minus. That's not amazing to them. That's normal. Doesn't everybody eat this? It's like a generation today. You're trying to help a young person, try to help them understand that there was actually life and purpose in life before there were cell phones or computers. And they simply cannot imagine it. It was 1980 when I first started operating and working with, in my work, a computer. That's been over 40 years ago. 43 years ago, last month, is when I started. And I had one of only two computers, maybe three, in the company. It wasn't a computer like you think of today. It was an operating, it ran the operating system. It turned things on and off, sort in a sense. It was a glorified, you know, more than a thermostat, but a glorified kind of control computer. And then we went through, I was talking to here recently, I had to get a new phone. Mine fell in the water. And the young man that came out to help me get it set up and get the new one going, we're talking about that. And I said, how I went through the in the 80s and 90s, nobody heard of personal computers or having computers on your desks, and how we had to rewire basically much of the buildings that we occupied for the company I worked with. We had to string miles and tons of data cable above drop ceilings and find ways to bring it down, to plug these computers in so they could talk. And by the time I left the company, we were pulling that cable out because everything was gone, had gone wireless. To talk to people today, and again, so 40 years, you might say, people have, there's always been a computer. And it's so ingrained and entrenched in everything that we do that no one can, a lot of people can simply cannot imagine a life or a world without them. And a cell phone is not a phone, it's a computer. A tracking device, it's so many things, it's a camera. It's just so many things. It's a book. It's everything. It's your connection with life. It's part of most people's daily lives all day long. Imagine explaining to people that we're starting a new era, as Moses was, and where we're going to have something better than cell phones. Your cell phones are going away. We're going to have something better than manna. The manna is going away. And they're going, this is all we've ever known. They were being moved into something, into the promises of God to the fathers. They had entered into a new covenant, as we'll maybe get to tonight. They're moving into a new, a whole new way of living. They're going to live in cities, not in tents. They're going to have infrastructure. They're going to be living compacted together. Their world was going to change. And Moses is trying to teach them about the things that are going to take place and how much their lives are going to change. And they have no idea. They've never crossed a river that God has dried up and cleared a path before. And they're about ready to see God move in a mighty way and part the Jordan so that they can cross on dry land. How do you tell people? How do you explain? How do you help them understand what's about to happen? And the thing is, you cannot. All you can do is tell them about it. All you can do is express, because Moses wasn't going to be there even to lead them. Moses has always been there. He was, in a sense, like a king. He was the president. He was the leader. He was the one in charge. He's the one they all looked to all the time, every day. And Moses was going away. All he could do was teach them these things, explain what's going to happen, but they were going to have to live it. They were going to have to walk by faith in the promises of God, belief in His word, and by doing so, they were going to be enabled by God to enter a whole new way of existence. This is an immense task. It's an immense task. And the change was going to happen quickly. This is a major change in the world, in the balance of power, and in the trade, all the trade that went through that land, the nations around. The world was getting ready to be turned upside down. And it's going to be done so by children, basically. Those who had never done this before. other than what experience they had in overthrowing the kings east of the Jordan, outside the land of promise. But they were still sojourners. They were still nomadic. So anyway, this is what Moses is trying to impart to them. So we come to verse 32. Because the Lord, we concluded last week, verse 26, you know, Moses said, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land wherein you go over Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but be utterly destroyed. Referring to verse 25, that when they turn from his instructions, which he knew they would do. So you're going to go in with fully capable and you're going to fail if you turn from God. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations. You shall be left few in number among the heathen. Here's this great throng, as I mentioned last week, where the Lord shall lead you. And there you shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if from there, from that place, thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou shalt seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And when thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, our time, our age, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he promised or swore unto them. So we come to verse 32. For ask now of the days that are past. Inquire about those days in the past, which were before thee, before your time, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from one side of heaven unto the other whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire? As thou hast heard and live? Is what's happened to you? Is any other people ever experienced this? No. Or hath God assayed to go and make and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, by temptations means afflictions, by signs, by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, and if you leave out the there is, which is italicized, interpolated there, know the Lord, he is God, none else beside him. I'm going to pause there. They didn't have books. They didn't have movies. They didn't have history books. What they knew they heard from the nations and people around them as they traveled, their resources, their access to knowledge and learning came by word of mouth. And what they saw and what they experienced and, what they heard, what they tasted, they were operating on their five physical senses to understand the world around them. But there was the spiritual side. There was the spiritual side, and that's what they were seeing was the result of spiritual things, spiritual, the works of God. Has it ever, inquire, as verse 32 says, ask now of the days that are past. Ask history, ask the past, inquire about the past, which these days which were before you, since the day that God created man upon the earth. Stand still for a moment and listen and look and inquire Has there ever asked one side of heaven to another? You have to do your research, or you have to learn. In order to learn this and understand this, you're going to have to research it, and because you've never seen this before. This has never happened before. One side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing, or hath been heard like it. Spend some time thinking and inquiring and using your mind and your spiritual senses. Inquiring, how are you going to learn about this thing? The Lord's got to reveal it to you. Those older than you, do they remember hearing such things? Did ever a people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of fire and live? No, but you have. The creator of the universe has spoken out of great fire and great strength and a physical manifestation of his presence, yet you could not see him and you did not die. That mountain was on fire. The storms and the thunder and the lightning, the things taking place. I mean, it's like the earth was under attack by the atmosphere, but it was a spiritual event. How come you weren't killed? You compare it to a nuclear blast. Have anybody experienced anything and been at the foot of a mountain when it did that and live? Has it ever even happened before? No. You stand at the base of a volcano when it erupts, are you going to live? Probably not very long. So he's saying this so that they would know that they are a very, very special people that God is fighting for. He is working in your midst. He took a nation out of the midst of another nation, and you are that nation that God did retrieve and gather out of another nation. And he has showed you these things. You might know that he is the Lord, the Jehovah, the Almighty, all in all, God. And there is none else even compares. There is no other God. That is strange and hard news in our world today. That is, you're intolerant. You're so, they have all sorts of labels that we want to stick on you. If you say that there is but one God, the Lord God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, and there is no other God. And he is the God who gathered Israel out, and he is the God that sent his son into this world, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to this Almighty God. No man comes to the Father but by me. If we say those things in this world today, which I hope you do, these are hard words that aren't tolerated very well in the world around us. You're an ignorant, intolerant person. You're bigoted. You're biased. They're going to work some sort of gender and color thing into it as well. Anything to shame and keep and suppress that word. But it's that word and that truth and that reality of the spiritual realm. And what God has done in our lives by comparison, what he has done in our lives through Christ, our Lord and Savior, that is the salvation of the world. And he's done it before your eyes, and you know it, and you've seen it, and you've experienced it. Believe what you know, as I've been talking about, and it just keeps coming up more and more and more and more and more. I mentioned to Mary on the way in, maybe I think it's a rhetorical question that is often used to be. I used to hear it from time to time. It never really made any sense to me. I mean, You know, it's that question that if a tree falls in the forest and there's no one there to witness it, does it really make any noise? And my thought was, well, of course it does. Things fall, they always make noise. How do you know it made noise? You didn't experience, you didn't see it. And we live in a time where a nation, as the deception of the devil is at work and the forces of darkness is at work. We are being, as the term gaslighted means, we are being told by the world, by the media, by many of our country's leaders, that what you're seeing, well, that's not what you're seeing. Well, you look at the southern border, you know, there, the migrants coming to this country across the southern border, that number has dropped markedly every year, or last couple years. There's not near as many coming across as there used to be. That's slowed way down. It's because they don't show you pictures of it. They don't talk about it. If it's not, I'd repose that rhetorical question. If it's not reported in the news, if it's not covered, if it isn't broadcasted, if it isn't made known through some sort of media, did it really happen? And that's what we're being told. Well, no, that's not happening. That's not taking place. No, no. Only crazies think those things, say those things. And you don't want to be a crazy now, do you? So it didn't happen, did it? And people are buying into that. But as Moses is telling the people of Israel here, beside the Lord God, there is no other. And he is your God. And he is on your side. And you are the work of his hands, the work of his logic, his purpose. He is accomplishing you in something in you that he has never, ever done before in the history of the world. How do you teach people how special they are when they have no real perspective? Nothing to compare it to. How do you teach young people today that there's life without cell phones and computers and entertainment on such massive scales? They've never experienced such time. That can't be. Were there dinosaurs still walking around when it was like that? It is up to us to teach. It's up to the Holy Spirit to teach. And Moses is trying to tell them what's taking place in their very midst with them, that they might be prepared when they enter into the land of promise. So going on to verse 36. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And upon earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words, and out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them. That's you. And brought thee out of his sight, out in his sight, with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance as it is this day. It's yours today. You haven't even entered there today yet, but it is yours today. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee, and that thy children after, and with thy children after thee, that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. He loved, as verse 37 says. He loved your fathers. And because he loved your fathers, he chose you. Their seed to come after them. And he delivered you out in his sight, with them out of the world, out of Egypt. Before Abraham ever died, God was thinking about Abraham's. What's the promise God made to Abraham? You will be the father of many nations. At a time when his body was considered dead and incapable, both he and Sarah, of having children. And here Moses is talking to this throng of people. And Moses is trying to bring them through the thought process that they are far more than what they think and what they know. And the only way that they were going to know this, the only way that they were going to understand this, is if God instructed them. Because he said, there is no other God. There is no other strength or power behind your life. We live in a world today, we all do, where we take the things that we have, the things that we've grown up with, the things that we know, for granted. 100 years ago, a mere 100 years ago, people were still riding horses and farming with horses to varying degrees. This United States had been through a major world war that was fought with very primitive weapons and some newly developed weapons. A war in which an airplane for the first time was used in war. And the pilots had small bombs that they threw out of the plane as they were flying over. That was not much more than 100 years ago. Helping people to understand how far we have come and not take for granted. We are all of us here are old enough to understand this, what a great distance we've come, at least to a much better extent. What a great distance we have come, and that we are standing on the other's shoulders, and we are living, building on the foundations that others have laid. But people today, young people today, are largely brought up in the mansions and in the houses and in the businesses that were built by their grandparents. People they don't even hardly know and think, well, what good are they? They're just sitting there drooling in a nursing home. What could they possibly have done for me? Computers were invented by people without computers. We cannot simply, we can talk about these things, and Moses was, but the important thing was that they realize how special they are. They need to remember that. And that other than God, his Lord of heaven above and upon earth beneath, there is none else. Keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command you this day. This is where your strength is. This is where your power is. This will make keep you and prolong your days upon the earth. This will cause you to be successful and to flourish and to prosper and to exist. There is not going to be manna on the ground. You're going to have to plant crops, and you have to think and work and harvest and plan ahead and save some for seed. You're going to have to do all these things and maintain your cities and maintain your laws and maintain your order. Because it's far better than living a nomadic life, picking up manna off the ground. Because it's going to take you into a realm where you must intentionally place faith in God. Without that, you will fail. And he said, you're going to forget, and you're going to fail. But the promises of God that brought you to this point and that will bring you into this land, those promises will not ever fail as long as you and when you put your trust in them. If you're distracted, if you get caught up in the riches of the land and the fatness of the land and start just enjoying life in this world, you're going to forget about God and you will fail. And they did. And they failed. But if Moses hadn't uttered these words, who else would tell them? He was God's mouthpiece. He was God's prophet. He was telling them things that Joshua knew, but that mantle had not yet been fully placed on Joshua, but the same mantle was. It is hard to teach something that people cannot imagine in their hearts. You can't see physical evidence of, other than they had seen, he refers back to the fire on the mountain and the presence of God and the works that God had done among them. They had seen, but they needed to believe and build their lives on those facts. And if they did, God would bless them forever. Let me quickly here, there's just a short segment here. The chapter really closes with a kind of a review of what we've already talked about, but there's one important thing here. Let me start with verse 41. Then Moses designated three cities on the east side of Jordan, this side Jordan, toward the sun rising, that the slayer might flee there, which should kill his neighbor unawares or accidentally, and hated him not in times past, and that fleeing unto one of these cities he might live. A city of refuge, namely Bezer in the wilderness in the plain country of the Reubenites, and Ramoth in Gilead of the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan of the Manassites. And this is the law which Moses set before the children of Israel. These are the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which Moses spake unto the children of Israel after they came forth out of Egypt. And he goes on to finish, with this history that we've already discussed several times. But the point is, Moses said, I'm separating these three cities, a place for those who have accidentally or unintentionally or without even knowing it, perhaps killed his neighbor. Didn't hate him Or maybe he got in a fight and he was angry and he hit him, or hit him with his shepherd's staff, or threw a rock at him, or something, accidentally killed him. It was not premeditated murder. There was a law that covered that. But for these sort of accidental murders and deaths that are, again, maybe just simply accidental. Maybe in I'd call it a car accident, for example. Well, you killed somebody. The law says you killed somebody, you shall not kill. If you do, you should be stoned. They have this, there's three cities where they could go to, cities of refuge, where they would be, where they could live and not die. Even though the law was broken, there were these cities of mercy, these cities of grace, these cities to which they could flee. It was outside the land of promise, outside of Canaan, but cities within the nation where they could continue living and find forgiveness and a future and hope and comfort, where they could not be pursued and persecuted by the law. Because it was accidental, it was unintentional, but it was still a crime. So even within the law, embedded in the law, there are places of safety and mercy and a graciousness. I don't want to call it grace, but a graciousness on God, from God on these individuals' behalf, where they might find refuge from the harshness, what seems to be the harshness of the law, the black and white character of the law regarding murder or killing someone. Where it was, again, not planned out. It was accidental. Even in Israel, God made this place of safety and grace, even as he, with the law, what happens if you sin? Sacrifice. Sacrifices were offered not just for entertainment or for a food supply or anything else. They were offered as a substitutionary death for when people sinned and transgressed the law. But there was no sacrifice for murder or for killing. But there was a place of refuge. And so I'm not going to go into that anymore, other than the Lord, that Moses mentions this and brings this out, and this was taught the people. That God still cared and he understood their plight in very, very difficult times. And he made room. He made a place that they might live. So I'm going to stop there tonight. Lord willing, next week we'll get into chapter 5 and continue on this Moses' great, great effort to impart this wisdom and understanding to a people who are very young spiritually. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, how we thank you and we praise you, dear God. That you teach us and would teach us many new and strange things that we cannot learn in and from this world. That rather than wander in a fully informed ignorance of reality in the many voices in the world and what we see that contradicts what you've told us, Father, you've provided for us a path and a way as we look to your word, your instructions, listen for your voice, and embrace the reality that there is nothing else worth pursuing in this world but your will. When we accept that in our hearts, Lord, oh God, you will bless as you have promised. Father, give us ears to hear. Help us to clear our minds that we might receive the witness of the Holy Spirit, who only can help us to know what we need to know. We thank you, Father, and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.